Hey, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Hi there, I'm John Avery Whittaker, but you can call me Whit. I run a shop in Odyssey called Whit's End. It's a place of discovery, imagination, and excitement. But don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself on today's Adventures in Odyssey.
All right, boys, up the sides with you. Let's strike a blow for freedom.
What do you mean, taking a kip when you should be working, boy?
Two lanterns, Robert. The British go by sea.
Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere.
Hi, Marcia. What you got there?
Oh, hi, Mr. Whittaker. It's a book of poems.
Paul Revere's Ride and Other Selected Verses. Ah, little Longfellow, eh?
Yeah, I really like Paul Revere's Ride.
Oh, it's a great poem. One of the epics of American literature. Too bad it's not very accurate.
Huh?
Well, for the most part, the poem is okay, but there are a couple of big mistakes. And there's a whole lot more to the story than what Longfellow describes. And to Paul Revere's life, for that matter.
Really?
Sure. Revere's best known for his midnight ride, but he did lots of other things to help the Revolution. Did you know he was part of the Boston Tea Party?
He was?
Yep. Boston Harbor, 1773. Revere, John Hancock, Sam Adams, and other patriots had been upset for months about taxation without representation. And those three ships filled with tea sitting in the harbor were like burrs under their saddles. So on a cold December night, they decided to do something about it.
Get ready, boys. We're almost there. Paul, you think I got enough red paint on? Don't worry, Charlie. You look as Indian as they come. Now remember, we're just after the tea. Nothing else is to be disturbed. Got it?
Yeah. Okay. We got it.
The deck looks clear, Paul.
All right, boys, up the sides with you. Let's strike a blow for freedom. Over the sides with it. Let's turn Boston Harbor into one giant teapot.
They worked throughout the night, tossing box after box of tea into the icy water as hundreds of people watched silently from the shore.
Silently?
Yep, no one said a word. Even though the patriots made noise, they were well behaved. They knew exactly what they were after, and that's what they got. In fact, when they finished, you know what they did?
What?
All right, boys, in line. Brooms ready? Clean up the deck.
They swept the ships?
That's right. Cleaned them spick and span. Then they filed onto their boats and rowed back to the harbor.
Unbelievable.
They made their point. The colonists weren't going to stand for abuse from England any longer.
What happened to Paul Revere?
Well, he went immediately to New York and Philadelphia to spread the news of this bold act of Boston patriots.
After all that work?
Uh-huh. Well, that's another thing about Paul Revere. We tend to think he took only one ride, but the truth is, he took several.
What about the most famous ride?
That happened in and around Boston almost 2 years later in 1775. One of the patriots' favorite gathering places was the Green Dragon Tavern, and it was there on a warm afternoon in April that Paul Revere met with Dr. Joseph Warren, a man who had written some scathing pamphlets against the British.
Revere! Revere!
Warren, have you gone mad appearing in public this way? You know what the British will do to you.
I wish they would try to arrest me. I say let the revolution begin instead of both sides pussyfooting around as we've been doing.
War will come soon enough without us urging it on.
You're more right than you know, Revere. That's why I wanted to see you. What's happening? Informants have brought word all day that British troops are marshaling, preparing for a march.
A march to where?
Well, we don't know, but it's likely they know about the arms stored at Concord and are planning to capture them.
And John Hancock and Sam Adams in Lexington along the way, no doubt.
If Concord is the objective, the immediate concerns are when the British plan to invade and how they'll get there.
By land or across the Charles River?
If it's across the river, the people on the shore at Charlestown will have very little warning.
Yes. We need some sort of signal.
Lanterns.
Lanterns?
Yes, hanging in the Tower of Christ Church. One if the Brits march by land, and two if they come by sea.
Hold it! According to the poem, the lanterns were hung in the North Church, not Christ Church.
That was Longfellow's first mistake. See, the Old North Church couldn't have been used. Its spire is too stumpy, and Copp's Hill lies between it and the shore. The lights would have never been seen in Charlestown.
Well, I'm glad he got the one if by land, two if by sea part right.
That he did, and Dr. Warren liked it too.
An excellent plan, but I'm afraid it means you're going to have to take another journey, my friend.
Let me guess. Across the river?
Mm-hmm. Inform Colonel Conant of the signal, then ride on to Concord and tell them to hide the supply of armaments. War could come any day. We must be ready.
I'll leave at once.
Return as fast as you can, Revere, and do be careful.
I shall, my friend. I shall.